not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Watch verse 21, key verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus said, show me your wallet, show me your bank account, I'll show you your heart.
Hello and welcome to this Tuesday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Wherever you are and however you may be listening, thanks for spending part of your day with us. Today we come to a subject that might make you a little nervous, but let me put your mind at ease. When God talks about your treasure, He's trying to help you, to bless you, to lead you to your destiny in Christ. And that's what Pastor Paul wants to do for you in today's message. If you can't stick around for the full broadcast, visit PastorPaul.net to listen on demand or download the free Destined for Victory mobile app. And now, here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message. It will be so worth it.
Some of us need an attitude adjustment. You might as well admit it. You just need your attitude adjusted. Holy Spirit, come and adjust my attitude. I am too raw all the time. Everybody has a fleshly moment where you don't need to be up around people. There are days that the best thing I can do is stay away from folks. This is not my day for you. But if I know it's a raw day, then I really don't want to be out there flaunting how raw I am on a particular day. That's a day for you to get somewhere by yourself. That's the day for you to pray, meditate, put on some praise and worship music. Ask the Holy Spirit, come get me together, because right now it's not going to go well. But you take responsibility. Don't say you just came up on me on the wrong day. No, you were presented on the wrong day. Go somewhere. Jesus would go away to pray. There were days when he didn't let the masses come to him. I need to commune with the Father. Now, he doesn't tell us all why he does that, but anybody knows you get alone so you commune with God. You also get alone because this is not my day for y'all. See, some of y'all don't understand. There is a Christian moment. I'm a follower of Christ, but right now I'm going to be like Christ, and I'm withdrawing from people. See, some of y'all think the only way you can prove that you're spiritual is that you're always accessible. You better hurry up and learn that is not proof of anything, but you mean well, but that's not God's way. There are days where the answering machine does all the talking for you. And don't lie on your answering machine. I have to say that constantly because I call people, they just lying to beat the band. This is so and so. I'm not home. Please leave your name. Beep. This is Pastor Paul. I'm calling. Pick a hey, Pastor. Honey, Pastor's on the phone. Wait, that machine just told me you weren't home. What you doing picking this phone up? Don't lie on the machine. That's not being a follower of Jesus. Jesus didn't lie on his. Be like me. You call the shepherd's house and it's not time for you. Here's what you hear. You've reached the shepherd residence. Please leave your name, phone number, and the message. God bless you. Beep. Everything was true. It's our residence. Leave your name, phone number, a message. God bless you. Beep. You got it? You don't need to know what I'm doing or where I am. I'm not going to tell you whether I'm home or not. I could be looking at the phone. Trying to help somebody. I can be looking at the phone. What does that mean? That means it's not you boo day. That's all that means. I love you and all, but this is not your day. And we have to learn. When it's not somebody's day, don't expose yourself to them because they're going to catch you in the raw. That's not a good idea. So tell the truth when you communicate with people. I'm trying to reach you all day. Yeah, I heard your message. I don't need to tell you, give you an explanation. I'm answering to God, not answering to you. Well, where were you? Somewhere. Somewhere. I could have been home, could have been out, whatever. We have to learn following Jesus means turning over your assets, your associations, your actions, and your attitudes. But in the case of this young man, let me focus for a little bit on assets, because that was his case. I want to exegete this passage, and I want to help all of us, even if you don't have your money yet, some of y'all believing for more. Anybody like me believing for more than you have right now? Then I need you to get this straight. Find out what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Watch verse 21, key verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Pause right there. See, there's the money matter. Jesus said, show me your wallet, show me your bank account, I'll show you your heart. Your heart is tied up, Jesus said, in the way you handle your money. It's a direct indication. Now, Jesus said that. I'm going to believe him, not you. I don't care nothing about money. He didn't say you cared about it. He just said it's an indication of where your heart is. When I see what you spend it on, I see your heart. When you are broke and still trying to ride like you got something, I'm seeing your heart. I will misappropriate what God gave me in order to impress others. I will misappropriate in order to act like I am worth a lot when I'm really not worth much because I'm not spending enough time on the inside. I'm just trying to live like a baller. Some of y'all not even sensible with you're trying to be a baller. If you want to be a baller, at least do it right. Bible says you can strive for mastery, but do it honestly. Do it earnestly. Do it the right way. Get out of debt. Try to be a baller in debt? That makes no sense. I'm sorry. I just like to drive a certain way. That's fine. But you can drive a certain way after you live a certain way, after you're out of your debt. You can't drive a new car in used car season and be in the will of God, because it's showing that your heart is not willing to delay gratification for those things that give God glory. Well, I'm not a tither because I can't afford to tithe. Well, let's look at your spending and see why you think it's okay to rob God. You do know that Malachi said you're robbing God when you refuse to give your tithe. He called you a robber, stick-up person. You jacking God. And so don't tell me you can't afford to obey God. Everybody can afford to obey God. And if you've caught yourself in a situation where you have more debt and you don't know how to get out of it, let the Lord help you. There are financial ministries that will help you get out of debt. We got people right here in our church who are rapidly working toward being debt-free. And in the meantime, you need to give God generously. And I'm not unreasonable. I know there are some people who can't go from giving next to nothing to give a tithe in faith. If you can, you should. If your faith can't quite get you there, no, Pastor, they'll be cutting off my lights, everything, if I give tithe right now. But I hear you, and I want to be a tither, so I'm going to give as much as I can while I'm still working this plan to get out of debt. All right, I'm not your judge, so I'm not going to condemn you, but give as generously as you can with the prayer, Lord, every year, every time I liquidate one of my debts, Lord, help me to increase my giving to the kingdom while I'm decreasing my debt. So you got to have a plan for that. You don't do that by accident. Just like you can't get out of debt by accident, you can't get blessed by accident. You have to be intentional in getting out of debt, and you have to be intentional in sowing generously. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I've lived, what I've experienced. And I've seen God take me from debt to no debt. Only debt I have is my house, and I pray the Lord will help me to get that one done. But you need to understand, God will work with you to get you out of the mess you've gotten yourself in once you show him you're seeking him first.
Pastor Paul Shepherd will be right back with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message. It will be so worth it. Remember, in addition to radio, today's program is also available on demand and on the go through our free mobile app. Search Destined for Victory in your app store. You can use the app to order resources, send us your prayer requests, or make a safe and secure donation. You can also listen on demand at our website, pastorpaul.net. That's pastorpaul.net, your online home for the Destined for Victory ministry. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's always blessing on the other side of sacrifice. Think about that principle as you listen to the rest of today's message. It will be so worth it. Once again, here's Pastor Paul.
And so if you say, well, I can't jump from where I am to giving twos and fews all the way up to a tithe. Pastor, I wish I could, but my faith won't get me there. If your faith will get you there, you need to go. Obey God immediately. But if you're not, I'm not saying there's no hope for you. Increase your giving. Make it as generous as you can with the intention of every year, at least every year, no less than every 12 months, up your giving. Well, I'm giving 4% now. Actually calculate it. See what you're giving. See, a whole lot of folk lie to themselves. Oh, I give generously. No, you don't. Because I saw your envelope when it passed by. Your friend could just look at you and say, that's not generous. $14. You need to calculate it. Here is what I make. Some people always say, what, gross or net? I'm not going to hassle with you about that. First of all, what you make is the gross. What the government took leads you to the net. But just because the government took theirs up front doesn't mean you didn't make it. Oh, somebody hates this. Why didn't I skip the rich young ruler message? Because I'm trying to get you blessed. That's why. God made sure you heard this. You make the gross. Government takes theirs up front. You can live in some countries that have no federal income tax. There are countries on the planet, what you gross is what you actually take home. USA is not one of them. But it doesn't mean you didn't earn it. But I'm not going to hassle with you if you, Pastor, I tithe on my net. All right, I'm not going to hassle with you. But you need to make sure you know what you're giving percentage-wise. Add up everything you gave. Add up everything you gave last year. Add it all up. And then say, now look at your W-2. That's what you made. Gross. And if you insist on being a net giver, then okay, I'm not going to hassle with you. I'll let Jesus deal with that. Look at what you made, gross or net, and then compare it to what you gave. And do the calculation. Well, my calculator not working. Your smartphone will do it for you. I made $67,000 last year. I added up. I gave $2,000 last year. If $2,000 was your tithe, you would have made $20. You made $67,000. Woo! Just trying to help you. If you're getting mad, that too, you need to surrender to Jesus. Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth. Lay them up in heaven. What does he mean by that? He doesn't mean you can't have a bank account. He's simply meaning your priority has to be heaven focused. What does God want me to do with this money? That's what I lay up. I invest in what's important to God about my life and about his kingdom. Amen, somebody. He said, for where your heart is, there your treasure is. Then skip down to verse 24. there in Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. Verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. People say, what's mammon? See, I don't know what that means. I'm about to tell you. It means riches. You can't serve God and your money priority. For those who have riches, riches. For those that don't have riches, your desire to have riches can't become your Lord. Now, let me just clarify. He isn't saying you can't have money. He said you can't serve it like it's your master. The Bible is not against money. Don't listen to people who don't read their Bible. Well, I don't pay no attention to the Bible because the Bible says money is the root of all kind of evil. No, it doesn't. I've read the book from cover to cover many, many times. I've never come across that money is the root of all evil. I know for a fact. You don't know for a fact. Let me give you the fact. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not the money. Money's a wonderful servant. It's just a horrible master. It will serve all good purposes. All money can be a blessing. Paul said, but if you love it, some, as a result of loving it, he says, have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It is the blind pursuit of it that the Bible is against. It's not the pursuit of making a good living. It's the pursuit of dishonoring God while you do it. Now, skip down to verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6. So Paul says, command those who are rich, meaning there are rich people in the kingdom. Why would Paul say command those that are rich if they're not supposed to be rich people in the kingdom? Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let anybody back you off because you're making good money. That can be a blessing if you let it be a blessing. I'm praying for more millionaires in the kingdom who will then say, I want to help Pastor Paul preach this gospel to the ends of the earth. I'm going to be a champion for his ministry, destined for mystery, so we can reach the planet with the word of God. Do you know I'm praying for your wealth? Because these bills keep coming. They don't let me preach on the internet and the radio and everywhere else. They don't let me do that because they like me. They do that. The stations do it because I can pay the bills. And I can only pay the bills if people will come alongside and partner. You understand what I'm saying? So he says, command those who are rich. Rich isn't the problem. But he says, make sure they're handling it right. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. I shouldn't look at your face and know you got money. Look at how haughty he or she is. Nose all up in the air. Looking all prim and self-assured and stuck up. You ever seen folk who carry themselves? Not everybody, because some of the richest people around us, you wouldn't even know by the clothes they wear. I got a couple of rich friends, some of whom don't own a decent suit because they don't care about that. And look at these millennial millionaires and billionaires. Have you noticed them? None of them are chic. I mean, look at them. All these social media moguls and all that started in college and built themselves up. Now they're billionaires and all that. You never see them with $2,000 suits. They're like, what I need a $2,000 suit for? I don't need to impress you by my suit. I'm impress you by my bank account. And they don't have to. Some of them wear nothing but a T-shirt. You ever seen the ones that don't? Well, you see them wherever they are, they got a T-shirt. I'm like, bruh. At least get something with some buttons. They don't care. So if they don't care and they got the money, why should I care and I don't have the money? Command them not to be haughty. Next thing he says, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. See, it's where your trust is. It's one thing to have it. It's another thing for it to have you to the point you trust it. And he says, You got to put your trust in God no matter how much you have or don't have, because God is the one who gives richly to all. And when he gives it to you, it's to enjoy. But you honor him in the process. Let him do good. If you got money, do good with it. Be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. That's God's will for you. So start practicing that stuff now. When you don't have it, make sure you're not haughty for nothing. Get your attitude together, get your priorities together, get your giving together. And now you're in a position where God can bless you. I have told God on a number of occasions, I have passed the poverty test over the different stages of my life. I passed the poverty test. I was a tither when I had next to nothing. I was a tither when we just got married. And I was a brand new associate pastor. My pastor, who was my dad, was so busy trying to prove to the church that I wasn't going to get preferential treatment as his new associate pastor. So the way he decided to prove that is to cause me to be broke. Trustees were trying to give me a raise. We want to encourage the young pastor. He's got a new wife and all that. We newly married, haven't even started our family yet. And the trustees trying to hook me up. Pop said, oh, he all right. I like, well, he's all right. Devil is a liar. And he did that for a couple of years. He fine. Just don't worry about it. He later told me, I was trying to make sure you weren't in ministry for what you could get out of it. I wanted to make sure you were in ministry for what you could give. Because I knew that if you gave right, if you served right, God would look at you and he would open the window of heaven. And I'm living under an open heaven now. Because decades ago, my daddy said, I'm going to make sure you're not in ministry for what you can get, but for what you give.
Jesus said, whoever is faithful in little will be faithful in much. It's a foreshadowing of the blessing God wants to give all those who are faithful with what they already have. So if you are listening today and you want God to take you to the next big thing, start by doing the next small thing. That's kingdom living, and that kind of lifestyle will always lead you to your ultimate destiny in Christ. Thanks so much for being here for today's Destined for Victory message. It will be so worth it. You know, every sacrifice God asks you to make is always well worth it. When you give, he gives back in abundance. When you ask, he answers. When you seek, you find. When you knock, he opens the door. But so many of us struggle in this area. We don't ask or seek or knock the way we should, and one of the reasons why is that Satan does everything in his power to keep us from praying. If you long to have an effective prayer life but don't know how, let me encourage you to contact us today and request your copy of Pastor Paul Shepherd's booklet, Building a Beneficial Prayer Life. This outstanding resource outlines the importance of prayer as well as its benefits. You'll become a better asker, seeker, and knocker than you've ever been before. Again, that's Building a Beneficial Prayer Life, a booklet from Pastor Paul, and it's yours by request for your gift of any size this month. Call 855-339-5500 or give safely and securely online at PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And you can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, our address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
Prayer matters. When you learn how to pray God's way, when you learn how to pray according to the Word of God, you will discover that prayer matters. It matters in heaven as well as on earth.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Prayer Matters. Join us to learn about the power of prayer and the benefits of prayer so that you can build and maintain a lifestyle of prayer. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.